Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We begin in Afghanistan, where peace talks with the Taliban have already faced their first hurdle. On Tuesday, the U.S. military handed over control of security operations to Afghan forces and announced they would meet with the Taliban to begin the process of peace talks. But just hours later, the Taliban launched a deadly ambush on an American convoy. Meanwhile, Afghan officials separately announced they were ceasing cooperation with the United States over the transition of power there. It all comes as the Taliban rose their flag in Qatar ribbon, inaugurating their new offices in Qatar, which they've called the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, where peace talks would take place if they ever got started. President Obama, speaking in Berlin earlier today, said he hasn't given up hope that peace talks are possible. Listen.
We still believe that you've got to have a parallel track to at least look at the prospect of some sort of political reconciliation.
With us on the line now from Kabul, the BBC's Bilal Sowari. Welcome.
Hi.
Give us the latest, please, in this confusing scenario.
Well, first of all, the Taliban announced the opening of their political office. A Taliban spokesman speaking live on Al Jazeera said that the reason for the opening of that office was to end the occupation, to liberate Afghanistan. And at no point did they mention that they were ready to talk to the Afghan government. They did not discuss peace talks with President Karzai's government. That has really angered President Karzai and his government. And the fact that there was a Taliban flag flying and that the office was named the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Now, President Karzai's position is that such a thing does not exist. His office says that he was opposed to that and that the Americans had given him guarantees and writings that those would be not mentioned. But his office says that the Taliban office was named the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. There was a flag, and the Taliban did indeed talk about bloodshed and fighting.
Bilal Sowari, it seems like what the Taliban is doing with this new office is trying to achieve international political legitimacy similar to what the PLO achieved in its struggle against Israel, and that Hamid Karzai is sort of in the Israeli position, not wanting this organization to get its own recognition as sort of an international political force.
Well, President Karzai's position is that the Taliban must come and talk to the Afghan government as Afghans, that this should be a totally Afghanized peace process, and that the Taliban should stop talking of more bloodshed and killing. What has angered President Karzai is that the Taliban have really strayed from the original agreement in writing which they had with the Afghan government. Now, in the past, the Taliban have always called President Karzai's government a puppet government, a government brought in by Western forces. But President Karzai has been saying, well, now the entire country is in the hands of the Afghan National Security Forces. The country has an Afghan government. It has an Afghan parliament. And he would really like the Taliban to talk to the Afghan government rather than to the Americans. In a few weeks back, the presidential palace was very critical, saying that the Taliban's messages were brought in by the Americans to the Afghan government.
A setback before peace talks even start, President Obama warned this road would be bumpy, and he was probably more correct than even he knew. Bilal Sowari, reporter for the BBC in Kabul, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we want to take a minute now and explore this idea of talking to your enemy and whether the Afghan government should engage in talks with the Taliban. On the line with us now is Kurt Volker, former U.S. permanent representative to NATO. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Also with me in the studio, Kristen Rouse, an Army veteran of the Afghanistan War. She served three tours of duty in that country since 2006. Hi.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Kurt, let me start with you and play you this cut from the president himself and set up what is a really difficult scenario for the United States and for the government of Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan. Listen.
This is an important first step towards reconciliation. Although it's a very early step, we anticipate there will be a lot of bumps in the road.
Kurt Volker, whenever the president of the United States issues the premise that there will be a lot of bumps in the road, he has to be expecting the kind of violence and hiccups that we've experienced just in the last 24 hours.
Sure, the violence and also I think the standoffs in negotiations that are going to prevent agreement. I think that the way I would think of this is that it's always worth having the door open and being willing to talk and seeing whether your opponent is willing to come to any kind of reasonable agreement about the future of Afghanistan. But I think we also have to expect that that's not what the Taliban's going to do. They have been fighting, willing to kill and maim and everything to gain control of Afghanistan again. Now they know that we're leaving. We've announced that. We've set this deadline out there for many years. They are going to be staying and we'll be gone. So they see that this is turning their way. So I think it's very unlikely that they're going to actually negotiate in any meaningful way.
One has to ask Kurt Volker, and people have asked this, not my original idea, about what we really have to offer the Taliban at this point that they would want. I mean, of course, they're going to be negotiating in public view with the Afghan government, the government of Hamid Karzai, but of course the United States is going to be involved. Do we have anything to entice them with?
Well, I think the one thing that comes up is what was already in the report that we just heard, which is this idea of legitimacy. Thus far, we in the international community, NATO, the Afghan government, and it really in the eyes of many of the Afghan people, the Taliban has been seen as illegitimate, that they should not be running Afghanistan and they should join the process of building a new Afghanistan and recognize the constitution, stop violence, things like that. If they get legitimacy as they are, without having to do any of those things, I do think that's something that they get out of this.
Christian Rouse, this is a good point to turn to you, because the idea of legitimacy for an organization that you spent three tours fighting in Afghanistan, you and tens of thousands of your comrades, has to sound like a bit of a difficult idea. How do you think of the idea of legitimacy for the Taliban at this point?
Well, Todd, the Taliban has been just a brutal, ruthless enemy for 12 years, at least for us. The Taliban has been responsible for over 2,000 American deaths, for hundreds of coalition forces' deaths. Their attacks have been even more deadly for Afghan army and Afghan police. And they've had targeted assassinations of the men and women working in the Afghan government at every level. They've assassinated former President Rabbani as he was trying to lead the peace process in 2011. They have targeted innocent civilians and aid workers, and they've even targeted children going to school. That's one of the memories that that most struck me from my first tour in 2006.
Meanwhile, all of those things true, all part of your experience and all horrible. But at the end of this long war, eradication is not an option. So we have to deal with them on some level. And I wonder how you sort of approach that cognitively.
Well, and it's absolutely true that fighting is not fighting alone will not end the war or the conflict in Afghanistan for either the U.S. or for the Afghan people. And so it's been very important for the U.S. to include diplomatic teams alongside troops, to have USAID in there, to have a lot of different non-lethal efforts embedded in with the American military effort as well. Maybe there is something worth talking about with the Taliban, but you know, but as they've shown, they've been absolutely ruthless. They've been willing to say a lot and to say, "Oh, we're the legitimate government of Afghanistan." Meanwhile, they're killing many of their own people, to include women and children.
Kurt Volker, former U.S. ambassador, former U.S. representative to NATO, rather, do we need to differentiate the Taliban political leadership, such as it is, cutting ribbons in Qatar with a new political office, and an insurgent attack that took place just overnight? Is it possible that there are factions of insurgents who want no part of this, and it's not necessarily on the orders of Mullah Omar, or do we need to put them all in one camp?
Right. Well, I think your question is to say, look, the Taliban is not a monolithic and easily centrally controlled entity. I think that's right. So this group that has opened the office in Qatar probably doesn't have direct control over all of the forces that the Taliban would claim are Taliban forces and resistance in Afghanistan. At the same time, they do share a general commitment to a common ideology and a general commitment to fighting against the Afghan government, which they view as illegitimate, they view as a puppet, and to fighting against the international forces that are there. And I do think that, again, we're looking at this from an American perspective. We'd like to negotiate a way out of this. From a Taliban perspective, they're looking at winning. They're looking at having succeeded in what they've been trying to do for the last 12 years of ousting the Afghan government, ousting the international forces that are there. Opening the office in Qatar and continuing attacks inside Afghanistan are part of the same thing. They're not contradictory.
Kristen Rouse, I want to finish with you because having been on the ground there, you're a warrior. And you, as we just talked about, you know that eradication isn't an option in the real world. But are you willing to talk about how this makes you feel, your government sponsoring political negotiations with such a brutal regime as the Taliban?
Well, we've been fighting the Taliban, but we've also been partnering with the Afghan people to build a peace that will last. And so I think more than anything, I want to see an opportunity for peace there, but peace with justice. And my hope is that is the end, that will be the ends that we're trying to reach there.
Do you think that Hamid Karzai is a good broker on the Afghan side to achieve that?
I honestly can't speak to that. He's had a very long and colored history in Afghanistan, and I know that there are many honest brokers there. I've had the honor of working with a number of Afghan army soldiers and officers, and there are people in Afghanistan who are genuinely seeking justice, fairness, and good governance in their country.
It's a long history of having to negotiate with your enemies to settle a war when eradication isn't an option. And it's the case now in Afghanistan, or maybe. Kristen Rouse, three-tour Army veteran of Afghanistan. Kurt Volker, former U.S. permanent representative to NATO. Thank you both.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.